Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona. It's time for Valley Business Radio, spotlighting the Valley's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Valley Business Radio. I'm Dr. Adrian McIntyre. This is the show where we tell the stories that traditional media tends to ignore and help connect you to the right people. I'm joined in the studio today by Lori Collins, Deputy Economic Development Director for the City of Phoenix. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you.
And Denise Earhart, who is the Economic Development Director for the City of Maricopa.
Happy to be here.
And Brad Vanalek, who's a partner in the Phoenix office of Quarles & Brady. He also serves on the Board of Directors for the Greater Phoenix Economic Council. Welcome, Brad.
Thanks so much for having me.
Our theme today is economic development. Lori, give us some context to start the conversation. How do you define economic development? What are the major components involved with that?
So I was a communication major in college when I got started in economic development. Somebody that I really respected boiled it down to two major things, and it might sound super simple, but he said it's product marketing and product improvement, and that seemed to click. For me. So we have the privilege of marketing our places as the preferred place to do business, and then also always working on how do we continue to improve that product so that we're continuing to attract businesses so that we can foster economic growth and make an environment where everyone can fully participate in the growing economy.
How did you get from the point you heard that first definition to the role that you're in today? What's a little bit of the backstory of your career trajectory?
Well, I started with City of Mesa as the marketing specialist for economic development. And in all fairness, now I would have never admitted it a few years ago, but I had no idea what economic development was. So that was a having to go through a really quick primer on just what economic development is. And so I've kind of had some panoramic experience really now throughout the region. I worked at Greater Phoenix Economic Council as their marketing communication manager. I also worked as a marketing director for a commercial real estate firm for their Phoenix and Vegas office, but always still kept coming back around to local government and just how satisfying it is to work in that role every day.
You know, when I graduated from university 22 years ago, I think, I worked in the mayor's office of my hometown, Riverside, California, and we had an economic development council and also a higher education business council. At the time, you know, I was just a young college graduate. I didn't understand a lot of the implications, but I was intrigued by the fact that these high-level meetings were happening in the city where business leaders, university and college presidents, government officials were all coming together to talk about important issues facing the city. And it was one of my first glimpses into that world of local government and the many different stakeholders and interests involved there. It's got to be a fascinating job. Is every day different, or what's it like coming to work?
It is. Every day is different. And there are a lot of moving parts. But when it all comes together and clicks, it's magic. And I think that that's one of the things that keeps us coming back.
Denise Earhart, you are the Economic Development Director for the City of Maricopa. Copa, a next-door neighbor, much smaller city. Tell us a little bit about your work and how you got into this role.
So the City of Maricopa is 52,000 people in population and incorporated in 2003. So to put that in perspective, we're a young teenager. We're about 15 years old. I've been there 5 years, and I started out as the economic development specialist, and I was working on business retention and expansion, a shop local campaign, really making sure that local residents were able to support their local economy. And as I progressed in my career and became the director, the ultimate goal is to establish and help create an environment where base industry can be successful. So that's where we're at today. We have some major initiatives. You know, being 15 years old, we don't have the infrastructure that a lot of other communities have. So identifying, you know, where is our future industrial park? Where is our light industrial business park? Those are the things that we're working on today.
Is it challenging to overcome the, I don't want to say brand, it's really more of a stereotype of Maricopa, a city that was hit particularly hard in the 2008-2009 recession, and you sort of got stuck with that image in mind? Obviously, things have progressed a lot in the state. How's it looking at the city level in Maricopa?
It's challenging because the community's so young. So what people knew about the city is what they continue to know about it. So as we get older and enter teenagehood and our young 20s, we're really going to be able to redefine ourselves and have a better identity. It's like if you were like a bad kid and people know you that way, that's not who we are. It really is a matter of maturing and letting, you know, people know who Maricopa is today. And that really is, it's a beautiful community where young families live. The median age is about 33.2. People are flocking to Maricopa all over again. So we're excited.
I want to hear more about that and some of the dynamics that must be at play there. Brad Vanalek, you chair the Innovation Committee. You're also a member of Quarles and Brady's Executive Committee. You've got a passion for startups, and I want to hear a little bit about the Time Venture Fund that you've recently announced. But tell us a little about the scope of your work and how you ended up in this role today.
First off, I want to talk about economic development because that's just, you know, deeply near and dear to my heart. I grew up in Tucson and ended up going to California and ended up being in Palo Alto for several years and just being surrounded by this deep, broad innovation. And I ended up coming back to Arizona. I really wanted to make it my home. And as I moved back, I was like, holy smokes, we have so much opportunity in this market. And you know, Denise, partially kind of like I'm thinking about what you said, and I think we oftentimes characterize Arizona and a lot of the in Maricopa County, a lot of the cities as redeveloping, and I think that's totally wrong. Like, what's I think extraordinarily special about our market is we're a D, we're not an R. Like, we are developing, and so by that I mean like we're in this extraordinary place where we really get to shape the economy, we get to shape education, we get to shape policy. We're not kind of stuck with these institutions that we can't modify or change, and we're able to really structurally create an economy that is more equitable and an economy that drives innovation. So that's kind of like my personal passion in economic development. I'm like, this is great. Like, this is not a redo. This is a do. And, you know, to be kind of engaged on that level is a lot of fun for me.
Tell us about your role at Quarles and Brady and what your team does with regard to economic development.
In terms of economic development, we do a lot of things, and it's mostly around innovation. So we represent a lot of startups. We represent a lot of mature companies, a lot of tech companies, commercialization entities kind of across the country. And that is all around helping clients develop product, get patents, protect what they've developed, and then helping them go to market through licenses and other kind of, you know, documents like that. But, you know, for me personally, it was kind of like the whole R&D. Like, I was at a firm that I think is great, and we've got an extraordinary group of partners and associates. And I thought that we ought to be more deeply engaged with the innovation ecosystem. And so we created a couple programs that have really thriving, and it's been for us kind of a social service where like we're a part of this fabric, like we want to give back, and part of that means that we're going to be really engaged in the startup community.
Lori Collins, from your seat in the city of Phoenix, you must see a lot of different dimensions in the ecosystem. Who are some of the major categories of stakeholders that are even involved in a conversation around economic development?
That's a great question, because I think it really does involve everyone. In Phoenix, we really focus hard on the communities themselves. Because the city is so large, it's over 500 square miles, 1.6 million people. It's the fifth largest city in the country. I think, you know, with the district system set up through city council, that very local street level touch point is so important. And so we work hard to engage the community. But we also have our elected officials, you know, that we work with that are voted by those folks to help drive the direction of the city. We work really closely as well with our existing businesses. They are the ones that can communicate to us, you know, what's the temperature out there for their growth. Are they getting the workforce that they need? And then speaking of workforce, we work really closely with not just the universities, but the career and technical education from high school level all the way through that post-secondary education. I know I'm missing some, but you can begin to see just how holistic that approach is, that we are all in this together. And it does take a lot of different organizations and like-minded people to make sure we're all rowing the same direction.
I'm a social scientist, but I don't think I've ever had an economics class in my entire life. I focus more on the human dimension of things. But it seems to me that, you know, there's got to be at least some very basic level where you've got producers and consumers, and then all the different public and private entities that kind of glue the whole thing together into a market or set of markets. And then also there's place-specific dimensions to this. What are some of the unique features of this ecosystem here in the Valley? There's a lot of different cities. So the community is not a singular thing. There are different perspectives, different points of view. Even if you're in North Scottsdale or South Scottsdale, you get a totally different perspective. So how does that sense of place play in as you look at various initiatives and try to support and connect various people?
So that sense of place is extremely important today, I think even more than when our parents were, you know, beginning in the workforce, where they moved to where the corporations were. Now companies look at where their workforce is. And so economic development is as much about attracting businesses as it is about placemaking and making sure that our communities, in the wide variety of them, are places where people want to live and grow and, you know, like, participate in the community. And so the thing I think that is so important about Greater Phoenix is, you know, we are a member, Maricopa is as well as Phoenix. You know, there's 23 member communities in the Greater Phoenix Economic Council who are tasked with promoting the region as the preferred place to do business. Where we all have the chance to shine is it's unique, and there's really something for everyone, no matter what flavor you're looking for. So whether it's North Scottsdale or South Scottsdale or Maricopa or really any of the urban villages in Phoenix, there's something for everyone. And we have this outstanding transportation system that we all live a very fluid and regional lifestyle.
From Buckeye to Apache Junction and everywhere in between, north, south, east, west, it's a fascinating and dynamic environment. Denise Earhart, from the perspective of the city of Maricopa, a young sibling is a great metaphor of some of the older and more established cities. What's exciting about this opportunity to invent a real ecosystem that people can belong to, participate in, et cetera?
I think all aspects of it are extremely exciting because it hasn't been done before. In our community, we have the ability to benchmark and look to see who's doing it right or who we'd like to somewhat model after. But at the end of the day, we are going to look very unique because it's going to be based upon our assets. So we have the University of Arizona that has arid land research. We have the USDA. We have an incredible workforce. So we're not going to model after, you know, the town of Gilbert or Denver. We're going to model after what is best for Maricopa. So that's what's exciting. I do want to echo on what both, or add on to what both Lori and Brett have said. It really is, when you look at the Valley, and you start comparing the state overall, it is development for the first time. We are such a young state, and we're sort of living somewhat in the future with new downtowns spread out, where historically everyone has been used to the major downtown. And sometimes people look at it as a challenge, but really we're living in the future where people don't have to travel that far and people don't want to travel that far, whether it's to play or to work. So people are really building their lives around their lifestyle.
I think you're exactly right. And kind of from a macro position, in a way, we're seeing in many different areas of life a relocalization. Obviously, the internet in its current form has given us the ability to do so much at so fast and at such a distance, where location doesn't matter as much. And at the same time, location matters a lot because people now are free to make choices about where to live. They don't have to just move to where the company headquarters is, et cetera. One indicator of this is the proliferation of co-working spaces. And, you know, so I've noticed in some conversations about this, some people are like, well, do we really need another one? I'm like, well, maybe you don't, because you've got one 5 miles from your house. But there's a whole lot of places that really would like to walk to work or, you know, drive or bike 5 minutes to get to one. You probably can't have enough. That points to the fact that there's also certain types of work that can be located more nimbly, if you will, right? Everything from the solopreneur to the small startup team, to somebody who works for a larger company but needs a place to go to because they don't live, you know, in Atlanta or Chicago or whatever. So we're looking at a whole scale of companies and business initiatives here. Brad, you've obviously got a soft spot in your heart for the startup and the tech side of things, but what else do you see in the ecosystem in terms of the range of companies involved who's playing a really active role? What are some of the voices that are helping shape the conversation around economic development?
Yeah, so I'm going to first speak to Greater Phoenix Economic Council. So GPEC really, you know, as a dynamic group of, first of all, their staff. I mean, their staff, like you walk into that office in the Renaissance Tower and it's just popping. People are excited. They're on calls with people all over the world. And then you move to the board. You know, we have people who have moved from Europe to Arizona who are on the board. We have CEOs. And just kind of a wide array of folks and mayors. And so what's been fun to really be a part of is to see how those folks are trying to work lockstep to create opportunity for the entire region. And it's really focusing in on, hey, we're all a part of a region. We're competitors on some levels for sure. And so when I think about, you know, GPEC's latest initiative about the connected place, it's about the connectivity of our market. And rather than thinking about our 21 municipal members as being in their own lane and like, hey, you stick in your lane, it's more like we're orbital. So we're kind of orbiting around each other so that we can connect and create the real opportunity together rather than segment it out. And I'll tell you, I think one reason why we're winning as a region is that commitment to really performing and driving as a region. Because ultimately, that's what's going to make this region thrive. If we get disconnected and focus just on different municipalities, it's going to really kind of hurt us. So in terms of companies, you know, you've got all these amazing companies out of Arizona that, you know, I think of even like GoDaddy. You know, that was founded in a garage, I think in 1997. And, you know, now they outpaced earnings, their stock price is at $73 a share, and they're going huge international. Stuff like that is happening. And then on the lower, smaller scale, I think we have really innovative kind of social entrepreneurs, like the folks who's founded Lux, right? Like Lux Coffee Shop is essentially a co-working space. People are going there to hang out with like-minded folks and to work, right? And Giant Coffee, same way. And so I think we've got this great band of people who are, you know, CEOs and kind of more mature companies and enterprise companies, and then this kind of more grassroots sort of movement, including like if you think about Roosevelt Row. Like Roosevelt Row in downtown Phoenix, I think on the first Friday of every month gets 100,000 people. I think it's the largest
First Friday in the nation.
In the nation. And so to me, it's like you've got like this kind of formal mechanisms and the GPECs and this and that, and then you've got a lot of grassroots stuff. And I think that's bringing people together in the middle and winning over the hearts of and minds of people who can really make a difference, who aren't traditionally thinking about it, but are now.
You know, when it comes to traditional development and construction and that sort of perspective, you hear a lot of conversations about infill, meaning the idea that when the city was built, there were gaps, there were blocks and spaces and pieces of land that didn't have anything built on them. And it's often talked about as this, you know, unique kind of dynamic. But what I'm hearing, Brad, and what you're saying is a whole other cut on the concept of infill, which is that there are spaces in the conversation and in the business landscape for people to come in. There's gaps in between the major players. And it's an exciting opportunity to invent, not reinvent, the future of business, the future of work, and the future of where we live and play.
Yeah, can I add to that
too?
So, you know, as speaking of the grassroots piece, that the startup community really unified under this umbrella of this hashtag YesPHX, where I think they started to begin to coalesce under the notion that we are the most generous startup community, whether it's we can help commit some funding, but we are generous of our time. And so something that resonates when companies are visiting from out of state or looking to move here, or there's, you know, an entrepreneur who's working on a new technology, they can very quickly find somebody who can fill that role for them and connect them to the information, the different people, the different, you know, parts of the community that they need to connect with. And it's been fun to watch. And so if anybody wants to kind of follow that, it is, you know, on Twitter, it's at YesPHX, and you can follow hashtag YesPHX.
It's certainly a shining example of the way you can put a community first ahead of the individual interests of founders and funders and, you know, all the other folks that tend to make up a startup ecosystem. And to a certain extent, that the YesPHX world is operating somewhat independently from the world of small business owners, of which there are a lot, and, you know, the chambers of commerce, the for-profit and nonprofit, all the different kinds of things that get done under the, you know, Chamber of Commerce umbrella, the large companies kind of moving at their own pace in their own ecosystem. There's just a lot of different zones of activity. Do they talk to each other? In your role, you must play some of a connector between those worlds. I mean, the world of the local brick and mortar business, the pool service and pest control guys and gals, and then the world of the GoDaddies and the Honeywells and the U-Hauls. There's a lot in between. Is that something you connect and support?
So for Maricopa, I think we can tell the story at a micro level. We absolutely have our large corporations talking to our micro businesses because we want to see them thrive. So for us, you know, our major stakeholders are the local utilities, some large companies that you know, exist within the community, our educational institutions. But if we can have those partnerships and that collaboration, and it can be something that's returned to the community, then we're adding value. So if we have small businesses or entrepreneurs that are doing good or doing social good programs, I mean, this is what makes the community vibrant and unique. I know that we're not unique. I know that it happens across the state. And, you know, that's what's going to drive innovation as well, the ability to partner, the ability to move on things quickly and move the needle.
Yeah, and we start to see a lot of that connection taking place in our co-working spaces. So a lot of times we either have a WeWork or the department or Cahoots or, you know, someplace where you can grab a desk. We're seeing a lot of our legacy larger companies have desks in those spaces downtown, either just to be around that creative collaboration, or sometimes it can be pretty stodgy and stifle creativity if you're there in the corporate setting. And so, you know, that's something that, you know, we've seen different tech companies do that as well, break off their Skunk Works division so that they can work, you know, super secret because they're the guys in shorts and earplugs and, you know, all this stuff. Yeah,
the girls with the blue hair.
Yeah. So you do start to see that.
From, the Palo Alto kids
from the late 90s, early 2000s, when I was going to Burning Man with the Bay Area crowd.
Yeah. It's funny, when I think about, you know, a lot of those players who maybe aren't connected, I actually don't think of that as a bad thing. Because a lot of our folks who are driving innovation, maybe in smaller businesses, mid-sized companies or startups, they're working hard to get their company where it needs to go. And I'll tell you, them doing that is probably the most important thing they can do for the market. And so I think of lawyers, like firms like Quarles & Brady and groups like GPEC as, we're the connectors. We're the, hey, tap you on the shoulder. By the way, you're doing this amazing thing. You should know this venture capital group, or you should know this angel capital group. And that's, I think, our job. And that's one of the best goods we provide. One thing I want to point out, because it kind of going back to the question about the variety and size of companies. You know, there's a company called Guided Therapy Systems, and they're in Mesa. They have this amazingly sophisticated ultrasound technology that has both an aesthetic and a musculoskeletal repair sort of capabilities. That team is going to Europe. They're going to the UAE. You know, they're taking their science to other parts of the world. And you're not hearing about that in headlines, but that stuff's happening. And those kinds of companies we really need to embrace and make sure that we're really supportive of them too.
It points to the need for more media properties that are focusing on this thing. I mean, Haley Ringel does a fabulous job covering tech for Phoenix Business Journal, and she's one person doing an incredible amount of reporting. We need to multiply. We need 100x because part of going back to what Lori pointed out with the YesPHX community and the tech startup ecosystem, one of the things that allows folks to do is see the community reflected back to itself. Simply raising the visibility by using a hashtag, and then of course Facebook group and other things, you know, a couple biannual social events, which are phenomenal, really allows people to experience not being alone and to experience bumping into somebody and having an interesting conversation that could lead to a connection, that could lead to mentoring, guiding, advising a partner, hiring, you know, a professional, et cetera. How do you, from your various roles, Denise, we'll start with you, how do you help spark those conversations? What are the actual activities and things that you do to put people in rooms or in conversations, physically or remotely, to help get that kind of thing moving?
That's a great question, because I mentioned earlier that we really want to be able to tell our story. So there's a few different things. The biggest initiative that we have is an ambassador program. So we have the Maricopa Advocate Program. So this is made up of residents, businesses, even people outside of the community that are looking to learn more about the city of Maricopa. So ambassadors essentially can earn points as they progress through the program. And it's really attending our annual economic summit, our quarterly real estate roundup. And these topics range from education to transportation to what's, you know, new in the commercial field that's coming online, what new retailers are entering the community, so that when people are asking, you know, well, when are you guys getting a Target, they can share with whoever they're talking to, you know, where we are in the grand scheme of things and how development and growth occurs. And they can confidently say, we're in the right part of the cycle. We're getting, you know, new businesses that are entering. So the ambassador program is one. Another initiative that we have is a fam tour. And we are bringing down reporters in different sectors and highlighting those areas here so that they can help shape our story as well.
Familiarization tour.
Absolutely.
Yeah, get them actually looking around, seeing what's happening. Lori, what are some of the initiatives you're working on or excited about to create and nurture these kind of connections for the City of Phoenix?
So City of Phoenix, and I worked in smaller communities as well, and I miss that hands-on, let me connect you directly with this person. And but, you know, we have a lot of really strategic partnerships with the Greater Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, with the Greater Phoenix Economic Council, with a lot of the smaller chambers of commerce and business alliances that are located throughout Phoenix, just working to make sure that they are enabled to provide resources and services to the people that they work closely with. In addition to one of the, I think, primary tenets of economic development is business retention expansion. And so being able to speak with all of those companies one-on-one is so important in being able to provide those connections.
Brad, you are active in a lot of different dimensions of this community. What are some of the initiatives that either Corals and Brady or GPAC, what are some of the things you're excited about? And you mentioned the venture fund.
Yeah.
Talk a little about some of the details there.
Yeah. First, I'll talk about the venture fund, and then I want to come back to another point. On the Time Venture Fund, we created an innovation committee at the firm a couple years ago, and we were really trying to figure out, well, how can we get more engaged with the startup community? And we looked at it in the same way we look at pro bono. We do a ton of great pro bono work, and we still do. We thought, why don't we kind of take that same mindset and apply it to the startup community? And so we started a committee of about 8 who review proposals from startups that are brought in by attorneys. And, you know, a proposal comes in, that group of 8 sits down in kind of a Shark Tank fashion. So it's 8 attorneys reviewing the proposal, quizzing the attorney who's recommending that we take this client on, you know, and it's just an extraordinary way to engage our attorneys to think about startups. And then in turn, we're going back to the startups, right? And we're actually providing the opportunity. So right now we have 6 companies under that portfolio. And what it really means is we've created a bucket of hours. So we're like, we're going to do this many thousands of hours and donate it to the startup community. And donate's not entirely right, because sometimes we'll have deferred payment programs, or we're creating models for these startups that are really bespoke so that they can get the early stage advice they need but can't otherwise afford. And we're kind of partnering with them, and we're investing in them in the sense of it's time. And so that's why we call it the Time Venture Fund. And that's something that I'm really excited about. I did want to talk a little bit more about the connectedness. And, you know, as I was thinking through the past, maybe call it 2 decades in this market, there's a group of people that have been at the forefront that I think don't get enough recognitions, and it's some restaurant tours. So like, you know, Chris Bianco taking a risk, leaving an AJ's and open up a Pizzeria Bianco that then becomes, you know, world famous. Mike at Chibo at Fifth Avenue and Fillmore kicking open that place not too long ago. Lauren and Craig taking an old post office and turning it into a thriving wine bar. Matt from, you know, who used to be at Bar Bianco, having this idea of, I want to open up a restaurant and call it Matt's Big Breakfast. And what's been amazing about those entrepreneurs is I think others have seen what they've done as restaurant entrepreneurs and said, wait a second, this person's investing in this market. This person's taking this risk. And so they've kind of accelerated growth in a weird sort of way because people look at them as these folks who really took risks because they were risks and succeeded and now continue to give back to the community. So I think that that's just a neat thing that ties in all of our community. So now you have a Postino's in Gilbert, right? And you've got, you know, a Matt's Big Breakfast in Tempe. And that's really neat to kind of have that local flavor expand regionally.
Lori Collins, you, in addition to your work for the city of Phoenix, you're also on the executive board of directors for the Arizona Association for Economic Development. Talk a little bit briefly about the association, about the role that that plays in kind of developing professionals in this field.
Yeah, well, thank you for the opportunity to share about them. The Arizona Association for Economic Development, or AAED, kind of coalesces around three main pillars of education, collaboration, and public advocacy. We have 470 members statewide, and I think that that's one of our strengths is, you know, is peer learning. And, you know, there with 470 members, somebody's seen it before, and so that's a great resource to access. They're also just an amazing group of people who deal with things that maybe Denise and I don't necessarily see in a metropolitan area, but are getting economic development done in a place that has next to no resources. And it just is a really cool group to be a part of. We also have a lot of private sector members as well, and are focusing on young professionals coming into economic development because they always bring such a great perspective too.
Denise, you're vice chair for the Professional Education Committee. What do young up-and-coming professionals who might be interested in something as dynamic and exciting as what the three of you are talking about, what do they need to know about the sorts of skills, the sorts of opportunities, what would help them accelerate their professional development?
Being successful in economic development is being able to connect the dots. And I have a young team that has just come together and they've asked me, like, what am I supposed to do at these luncheons? And what do I talk about? I'm like, are you kidding me? This is your time to shine. This is your time to tell them about all the wonderful things that you are working on. And I listed, you know, six or seven different things that the team's working on. I said, no one's going to know these things about you unless you tell your story. So I think it's a matter of connecting the dots, because the more you tell people what you're working on, you know, I'm going to reach out to Brad afterwards to talk about this
Time Venture Fund,
you know, because that's how it, you know, it really is word of mouth sometimes, but that's how we learn from one another. I think what young professionals can get is structured learning as well. You know, not only the networking and connecting the dots, but structured learning through the four different modules that we offer, and really understanding, you know, development deals that have been inked across the valley, and understanding that you don't need to have all the tools in your toolbox to get a deal done, because we really cater to practitioners all over the valley.
I taught for 11 years, both as a graduate student and as a professor at the University of California, Berkeley. And I used to tell students basically the exact same thing. Listen, you guys, it may look like there are rules of how you're supposed to be a student, and there aren't. This is an open canvas. You could go into almost any building, except for some of the ones that are doing certain kinds of research. You can go to almost any building and meet almost anybody, and they would be interested, you know, providing you catch them at the right time. They would give you 10 minutes. They would actually give you some advice. They would share their perspective with you. And cities and business communities work very much the same way. There's literally nobody, well, except for that one guy, but there's nobody that you couldn't just pick up the phone and call and express an interest in learning more about them. And you know, it's just a fabulous opportunity for really growing up together as a city, as a community, and as a profession. As we wrap up our show here, Brad's got to dash out the door to a GPEC
meeting.
So, why don't we circle around, and Denise, just share with us one thing you're really excited about in the future, that, you know, something specific, and then give us some details about where people can learn more about you and the work you're doing in the city of Maricopa.
Early on, I mentioned that since we were such a young city, that in order for us to have base industry, you know, product equals projects. And that's where we're going. We're identifying land. We're identifying funding resources so that we can get buildings and move people into them. So, you know, for a city that doesn't have old buildings that need to be renovated or moved into, that's what's most exciting for us. So if anyone's looking to learn a little bit more about the city of Maricopa, you can easily find information at maricopa-az.gov.
Marvelous. Thank you so much for being here. Brad Vanalek,
yes,
tell us a little bit about what you're excited about in any of the hats you wear with Quarles and Brady or with the Greater Phoenix Economic Council. What is coming up in the future that you're really excited about? And then how do people learn more about the various initiatives you've mentioned?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that is most exciting to me is a lot of the new locates who are moving to this market. Like, I mean, Voya just, you know, announced that they're going to have 960 or maybe 1,000 people. There are several other companies kind of at that scale. And then there are other companies that are, you know, 50 or 100, but they're bringing their R&D team here. And they're moving from Seattle or they're moving from Silicon Valley. And to me, that's exciting because the connectivity between these other innovation hubs is greater now than ever before in our history. Now the Time Venture Fund, you know about that, but I think that's something I'm excited about. We want more companies into the portfolio. And you can always find us at www.quarles.com.
Q-U-A-R-L-E-S, quarles.com.
You got it.
Okay, fabulous. Thank you for joining us, Brad. Lori Collins, either in the city of Phoenix role or in the Arizona Association for Economic Development role or both, what are some things that you're excited about in the future and how do people learn more?
So I'm excited overall for the state of Arizona because I think we're continuing this upward trajectory. You know, it's hard to pick just one because Phoenix has all of its employment corridors are booming, but we're growing a new employment corridor around the new Loop 202 extension, which is going to connect the East Valley and the West Valley workforces in a way that it's never been done before. And there's a lot of large land parcels that are ready for development and an extremely talented workforce that companies can access in the West Valley. And so that's one of the things that I get to work on that is I'm excited about. Too many to name, but I'll keep it briefed for today.
And how would someone connect with you or learn more about the City of Phoenix or the Arizona Association for Economic Development?
They can visit aaed.com to learn more about how to become involved in that organization. And for Phoenix, visit phoenix.gov/econdev.
Thanks to the three of you for joining us here in the studio today. I'm excited after this conversation about the opportunity to do, not redo, the future of Phoenix and our cities throughout the entire valley. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
For all of us here at Business Radio X, this is Dr. Adrian McIntyre, and we'll see you next time on Valley Business Radio.